Today I want us to not just look at and read Scripture. I want each of us to go back in time, in our own mind, and I want you to as we walk backwards in time, I want you to see the times in your life when something had broken down within you, within your family, and you were so broken that you cried out, God, have mercy on me. It's my fault. I'm sorry. Bring peace into my life. Crying in the wilderness is very common for us in this day and age also. And of course, I'm speaking about John the Baptist. Isaiah had told the people of his generation as the messianic prophet, a time is coming, and listen to me. That time is a focus of one that will be coming from the wilderness. Not the one, not the Savior, but the one that's crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. To make straight the way of the Lord is a focus of every Christian, or it should be. To make straight focuses for us in this day and age that we will keep our mind on who Jesus is. And that we will not vary from His holy word about who He is. That you and I must hear the cry of the wilderness. For Christians now, as we go through our life, we realize that the cries in the wilderness doesn't mean that we're out in the physical wilderness. Have you ever caught yourself just in the wilderness with inside of you? I mean, it's the wilderness to where you're hurting so bad and you don't know how to deal with it. You're afraid to talk to God because you think that God doesn't know about what you're worried about, and you either don't want to bother Him or you're ashamed to talk to Him about it. There's so many cries today in our generation of young people who are crying from within. They don't know what they're looking for. They don't know the direction in which they need to go. And there are many times no adults in their life pointing them within that direction. But God says, I want you to listen to the cries because I do. I want you to pay attention to the cries because I do. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 23. He said, this is John the Baptist, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John the Baptist preaching, and he didn't quite look like a preacher. He ate bugs and stuff, and I'm sure, without a doubt, he stinketh coming out of the wilderness. But you know, all of that was to explain something to us. And that is that when we get in the wilderness of sin, the wilderness of life, and if you don't know what I'm talking about being in the wilderness of life, hang on, you will. You will understand how many times you've been let down. You will understand that the wilderness deals with the hurt and the pain. John says, I know what God has called me to do, and I'm doing it. I'm going to point the finger to who Jesus really is, the Messiah. I'm going to do that because I'm called by my Father in heaven to do so. Well, the Christian church, those of us today, we are called by God to hear the cry. We're to go a step further. We need to hear the cry of each human heart. We need to listen for the cry of that child that's being abused. We need to pay attention to the hurt and the poverty of so many people. It's the cry that goes out, Lord, is there any hope for me? If the church does not stand up in the world, they will see no hope. Hope is not in civil government. Hope is not found outside the cross of Jesus Christ. John said, I'm going to show all of the people because I'm the one that's going to come from the wilderness and I'm going to point out the Son of the Most High God, because the times have changed. The Messiah has come. The Messiah is in our midst. Do you realize, Christian, that from the point that the Messiah came, he never left our midst? People say, well, no, he was crucified and then he ascended to heaven. He never left. He said, I am going to sit at the right hand of my Father. I'm going to lift you up to my Father. And I'm going to indwell you. I'm going to give you the courage for the day. I hear your cry, and I will send my people to help you in your despair. And then we listen to Jesus' question. When the Son of Man comes, that's coming back, will he find faith on earth? What a question. The church is present day. Will he find faith on earth? Without faith in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Without the church acting as the body of Jesus Christ incarnate on earth, we cannot move the mountains. And Jesus is saying, church, you want to see something different? Get involved. Do you hear the cry of the unwed mother? Do you hear the cry of the stillborn? Do you hear the cry of every baby that goes up to God from the womb in the murder, slaughter of the innocent unborn? Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. God walked among Adam and Eve. God saw the two sons. Cain gets angry at Abel because God said that Abel's gift pleased him. And so Cain murdered his brother. And then we see God coming back on the stage and God saying, Cain, where is your brother? And Cain's response, am I my brother's keeper? Then God let him in on something. Abel's blood is crying to me from the earth. The blood is crying out to me. Everything you will read about throughout the scripture deals with a bloody mess. God says that life begins when blood flows. And God says, I pay attention to the blood flow. I hear the cry. I see the pain. Will you not cry out to me so that I can help you? Trust me. I got you. Trust me. But the church has been silent for too long. The church has stepped away from the commandment of God to share with the world, whosoever will, let them come. And the church in the United States of America has come so close to becoming nothing but a secular get-together of people wanting to be a member of a club. That's not what God's house, God's people, the body of Jesus, is each one of us making up that body. But he said, I want you to listen. It's hard for us to do because we want to talk while others are talking. We want to tell others what we think they should think. We want others to act like we think that they should act. God said, I'll take care of that. I want you to cry out and let your cry be heard all the way to heaven, that I am still on my throne and that I still love the human race, and I'm coming back. And when I come back, you better be paying attention. I'm coming back for my bride. The bride of Christ is the church. That's us. How long can we put the mufflers on our ear to where we cannot hear the cry because we're too afraid, we're terrified, I don't know what to do? Well, church, for goodness sakes, do something. We cannot just come and sit on a pew and sit sour and soak. We must stand up for what is right. And yet we're living in a time when what is right in the eyes of the world, we know goes against Scripture. We know goes against God's Word. What must we do? Look inside of your heart. Do you not want God to hear your cry? You're hurting so much on the inside that you don't want to discuss what's going on with you with any other human being because you're hurting too bad. The reason we don't talk things out with one another, the big elephant in the room, happens to be because someone is going to criticize what we say and how we feel. So therefore we remain silent. And yet the cry inside of the heart of each one of us is heard by God. And it is God that has ordered the body of His Son, Jesus Christ, to get to work, get into action. It ain't over yet. The world's still spinning. We're still spinning with it. But God says, look, please. I love everyone. Ah, you know the type of love God is talking about? I would that everyone would be saved. The Lord is not slow in His second coming, but He wants to give everyone the opportunity. Those that have yet to be born. If I do not stand for the character in which I say I stand, it has nothing to do with how other people may treat me. It has to do with who are you? What kind of character do you have? Will you stand for the truth of God? Can we not hear the cry of God Himself? Can we not hear the cry of Jesus in our hearts? We say that we believe. And He said, I have a ministry. I have a mission for you. We'll pay somebody else to do that, Lord. When God calls you to talk to someone or to show the love of His Son to someone by helping them out, don't turn that opportunity away. God said, I'm going to give you a gift to bring a smile to the face of a child. bring a smile to the face of the mother who doesn't know how they're going to take care of their child. The cries are great. And I warn the church, and I'm talking about the church, not just in America, the church throughout the world. God is watching. And God says that He hears the cry of the innocent blood that has been shed. Where's my army? Whatever happened to God's man? Where did he go? What's more important to us? You want to know what is in your life? See what you give the most time to. Pay attention to what's important. Well, you can look in your checkbook and see that. What's most important to you? The cry in the wilderness remains. It remains, though, with the love of God through His Son, Jesus. The disciples knew that Jesus had went to another town and was baptizing, they said. If you're a student of Scripture, you know that Scripture also lets us know Jesus did not baptize, but His disciples did. So therefore, the word comes back, and John's, not just his disciples, his friends were saying, John, this guy you pointed out, you said he's the Messiah? Well, he's over there and he's baptizing. And more people are going to him that are coming to you. Didn't take long for that start, did it? And that's when John said this, I must decrease and he must increase. That's the answer. That's the answer for civilization today. Jesus Christ must increase. And we are so narcissistic. It's always about us. Until we put us in our own place at the foot of the cross, our nation will continue to crumble. The cries will begin louder. The blood of the innocent will cry out to God. And God will issue the warning. And He already has. America, you're just about ready to sink. Where's my church? Where's my son? Oh, not the son that's seated right beside me. But the Son, His body, my church, says God. Why is not my church standing strong? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, it's okay to hurt God. Do we not understand, folks, that the worst thing we could do was not tell the truth about who Jesus is? And if feelings get hurt, that's much better than souls living in hell. But if the blood continues to cry out to God, should not we as God's servants also hear the cry of the family next door, the cry of that little child you'll see in the grocery stores, wanting to get, maybe it is junk. Maybe they're just wanting to buy some junk food. And listen, as the parents say, you're not getting anything. And all the hateful things they said of the child, Jesus said, pay attention to the cry. You see, folks, I cannot do any less than that. For the cries now are raging within my own life and listening to it. Have you ever felt so hurt and so broken that you felt alone in the middle of a world of people? Have you ever felt the pain and the agony for someone else to the point that you did not care what it would take from you? You wanted to make a difference. Jesus looked at each one of us, and the Word says, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet lost, Christ died for me and you. He said, this is how much I love you. Pay attention to my love. I took your hurt, and my body on earth today better be paying attention to it. God loves us, folks, so much that He gave His only Son. Do we love that much enough that we will step out of our comfort zone and reach out to people that are truly hurting? We have a great church, a body of believers, and we feed a world of people throughout the year. The shoeboxes you see go to those who have nothing. And God looks down and He says, listen, I want to remind you of something. My Son cried for you. Are you better than He? Are you so tough that you will not shed a tear for the world who is hurting? My Son cried for you. Are you better than He? If we can't hear the blood crying out, we need to get on our knees and beg God to give us that feeling, for He's paying attention. Listen to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 29 and 30. It is the bright... I use the new translation here because I want you to understand how John is coming across concerning Jesus. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride. The church is the bride. And the best man, that's John the Baptist, is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. Talking about Jesus. This is the point to when he parted and his disciples took off to go be with Jesus. He must become greater and greater. I must become less and less. When Jesus comes back for us, the church, will we have become less and less when he looks at our heart and him become more and more? As we age, we worry more about stuff that no need of worrying about. For one thing, yes, you're going to die. And if you don't die here waiting for the rapture, your still body's going to be changed during that period of time. You will not miss the rapture. Got it? You will either be a part of the rapture going or coming. But he ain't missing it. And Jesus does not want us to miss one cry of the hurting. One cry of the innocent. I must stand for that. What would Jesus do? Well, what would he do? Can we look at a body of believers throughout the world and they're acting like Jesus? Or has the church become self-serving again? Again, I say, because before the church was formed, they were already arguing. Folks, we don't have time for it. The time has come. You and I must stand up for the word of Jesus Christ. You and I must focus on His love, His forgiveness, His truth, for He is the one that watches over you. He's the one that's going to be standing there waiting for you. He's the one that you think is going to say to you, oh no, no, why should I let you in? Look at the sin in your life. But you'll never hear that from the Lord. And you won't even be able to bring it up. Apostle Paul said that. Paul said, I don't even have a right to judge myself. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.